atop Mount Pluto. And it is now time for Bike Talk with Chris Kelly. It's time for the monthly installment. What do we got going on today?
All I can say is, oh boy. Oh boy. Brian.
Yeah?
Yeah, today's going to be a very packed, full show that's going to be very interesting. An email that came across my desk about 3 or 4 weeks ago from the California Bicycle Coalition had something very interesting in it. So I'm going to introduce my guests right now, then I'm going to read this, and then we'll get into talking, open dialogue and call in. My guests today are, of course, in the studio. We have Suzanne Weber, who is our local yoga instructor extraordinaire, and she has crafted a course called Yoga for Bikes. And you can probably guess by just the name of it that it's probably a yoga program that is tailored to make someone who wants better muscles or wants to be more limber on the bike. It's a specific program just to enhance your bike riding experience. And my other guest will be Jim Brown from the California Bicycle Coalition. He is the director of communications for the California Bicycle Coalition, and he's on the line with us, and we'll be queuing him up in just a minute. First, I want to read what I had in an email that came from them, and it was about the stimulus plan. So I'm just going to go right into it. I'm going to do some reading, just like Shamba does on his show. So here we go. It's the federal economic stimulus funding was the subject of the email. CBC calls for spending on bike pedestrian projects. Now that President Obama has signed a $789 billion economic stimulus plan that includes funding for state transportation projects, CBC is calling on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to ensure that California spends a share of its funding on ready-to-build bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure projects. The stimulus plan includes $27.5 billion for transportation projects, of which 3% or about $825 million must be set aside for so-called transportation enhancements. California can expect to receive about 10% of the set aside, or about $82 million. Bicycle and pedestrian projects are two of the 12 categories of projects that can receive transportation enhancement funding. Congress is requiring each state to submit a list of transportation projects to be built within the stimulus funding. As of December, California's draft list showed $1.4 billion in projects, but included no bike and pedestrian projects. At a recent joint hearing of the Senate and Assembly Transportation Committees in Sacramento, the CBC called for spending 100% of the funding for transportation enhancements on bike ped projects. Other spending categories include acquisition of scenic easements, archaeological planning, and creation of museums, which have less job-creating potential than infrastructure construction jobs. With Caltrans proposing to route all highway stimulus funding through the Surface Transportation Plan program, CBC has also called for maintaining existing allocation formulas, which would provide 10% of the funding, or about $250 million, to transportation enhancements. According to America Bikes, a coalition of national bicycle advocates, there are at least $700 million worth of ready-to-build bike ped projects in California that could be built within a year, and most of those within 90 days of receiving funding. That's a startling number for me. I'm going to keep going. Not only would bike ped projects provide skilled construction jobs, but in these difficult economic times, they will enable more people to choose affordable transportation options like bicycling or walking for getting to work and school, said Casey Butler, CBC's executive director. And many of these projects can be built as part of other roadway projects at a lower cost than building them separately later, Butler said. With public funds so limited, we should insist on getting the best value for taxpayers. I think that's a really great idea. Last couple paragraphs. CBC has called on the members to contact cities and counties to make the case for bike ped projects and to send letters to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was out on the bike path last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago?
Well, it was a little while ago, but yeah, I found something about that.
To Arnold Schwarzenegger and Caltrans Director Will Kempton, urging them to include bike ped projects on California's project list. CPC also joined some 20 transportation and environmental advocacy organizations to propose specific funding priorities for California's share of stimulus funding in a letter sent recently to Assembly Speaker Karen Bass. Well, that one caught my attention because we're looking at these projects that are already in place that that can happen in within 6 months of funding them. So I think at this point in time, I'm going to bring Jim on. Jim, are you on? Are you there?
I am there.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
Great, and welcome to Bike Talk.
Thank you.
Before we start, I want to let callers know that, or let listeners know, and greet all the listeners that are listening to us online. I know there's a bunch of you out there tuning in on KVMR.org, streaming through iTunes or other means. And the call-in numbers are 530-265-9555, and our 800 number is 800-355-5867 if you're out of the area. So please give us a call if something spikes your interest today or if you'd like to comment. So, Jim, you got your hands full down there in Sacramento, sounds like.
We certainly do.
So, can you elaborate on what it's like being down there at the CBC and trying to get things motivated as far as getting budgets passed, budgets in front of the governor, for at least earmarks so that people pay attention to them?
Well, I think our issues are finally getting the attention of a wider audience. The state is trying to implement greenhouse gas reduction measures, and everybody's beginning to realize that the way to make that happen is to get people out of their cars. And we're looking at a transportation network in California that doesn't entirely support that. It's mainly devoted to motor vehicles. So as the state tries to figure out how to provide alternatives, they're realizing that people need to be given more options to use their bicycles or to walk or to use transit. So in a way, the world is finally kind of caught up with us. And that's keeping us busy, but it's also making our job easier because we're finding much greater receptiveness to our message.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Jim, this is Kurt Stockton
here
with
Kurt
Chris.
Hey, Kurt.
When you're saying you're finding receptiveness, who is being more receptive, the legislators, or you mean people are just listening because now this legislation has been passed that we got to clean things up,
or because fuel was $4 a gallon more than 6 or 7 months ago?
I think it's becoming clear to folks that the old way of doing business of focusing primarily on enabling as many cars as possible to use the roads just isn't meeting everybody's needs. And the state is taking definite steps forward towards enacting greenhouse gas reductions, and that involves getting people out of their cars. So we don't actually have to convince very many people to pay attention to bicycling. They're just beginning to realize that this is something they need to begin to consider. You've also got recently the enactment of a bill that CBC sponsored called the Complete Streets Act, which calls on cities and counties to begin evaluating whether or not their transportation plans accommodate the needs of bicyclists, pedestrians, and transit riders. So this is also starting to happen, and it's going to change the way cities and counties look at the way that they plan streets and roads. So you've got kind of the convergence of a number of issues that are happening. We have the support of the governor. He signed our bill last year. We have a good friend in Caltrans director Will Kempton, and that's been very helpful. And in the meantime, we've got the state bureaucracy working on enacting greenhouse gas reduction measures, and so that has involved us in some of those discussions. So it's we're finding a receptive audience in all over the place, actually.
Yeah, indeed.
That's good to hear. I guess it's a lot of stuff that a lot of us have known for a while, but now getting a broader audience to hear about it and accepting it, it's got to be encouraging, huh?
It is. You know, what we've discovered is that people finally recognize that bicycling is a form of transportation. It's not just recreation or exercise. It's a way that a lot of people in California get to and from work, get to and from school, and you know, that change in attitude has taken place over the last 5 years, I would say.
That's amazing.
And it makes our job a whole lot easier.
I've often thought for the many years that I was in the industry making bicycles that the industry you know, it really missed its calling on really what it could be doing in the larger scheme of things. And I've always looked at the bicycle like transportation. And when I was living in Oakland, getting around on a bike, I drove a car once or twice a week, and that was to get to a race. You know, I had a beat up. I had a beat up Volkswagen Squareback. It was a '71. It was yellow. It was pale, and it got dented the first weekend the week I owned it. So it wasn't pretty, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I rode my bike everywhere, and it was great. And I thought, you know, why don't more people do this? And so when we started building production cyclocross bikes, and people started buying them and using them as their number one bike, that spoke to us on a real personal level, because we knew that the bike was a neat bike to use, but all of a sudden, you know, everybody's using it for transportation. Everybody's driving right into their jobs on it because it's a lot easier to ride. And now you see the industry has, like you said, in the last 5 years, has really started thinking more about providing products to the consumer that have to do with getting to and from your job, mm-hmm. getting to and from the store, getting around town, just things that are just not, you know, so specific, like I've got this, you know, 18-pound road bike that I'm going to go, you know, do a 100-mile ride on or go win the Tour de France on. And because, frankly, I think the bikes were very intimidating for people. I personally know this firsthand from talking to women that were thinking about, well, I don't really need that much bike. I just want something that I can go ride and have a good time on, or go across town and put a rack on it and go do some things. Mm-hmm. So it's great to hear you saying that, and that 5 years ago was a date that you really noticed the change happening.
Yeah, exactly. We're seeing people talk about bicycling as transportation in ways that we just didn't anticipate, and that's been it's been really nice to see that shift in focus. You know, California is blessed with a terrific climate and a gigantic share of the nation's bike industry. We produce about 25% of all the bicycles. About 25% of the national bicycle sales happen in California.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's huge. And so it's you know, California is leading the way. I think sometimes we take it for granted that everybody's on a bicycle, and in fact we're particularly lucky out here to be in the position we're in.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, as you were speaking, two things I wanted to touch on. One, as you were speaking about, you know, people using transportation and the infrastructure projects that we're trying to get past and get money for. Sacramento is such a unique town. I've always believed in lead by example, and Sacramento being the capital of the state, how cool is it? Because that place is so flat. It's large, but it's flat, and it's not like LA where everything connects by a freeway and it's so much further apart. Where Sacramento and, you know, the Bay Area is wonderful too. I mean, Oakland's, you know, the East Bay and San Francisco, but it's a lot hillier. And Sacramento's got this nice flat layout where you can just create this huge network of bike paths and trails and roads that cut across and through main thoroughfares as shortcuts for the bicycle. And wow, what a great place to pilot the program and get approved, you know, some of that funding and some of those building projects.
Well, Sacramento is definitely at the forefront. The city has made a commitment to include bicycle facilities in the transportation mix, and they have actively implemented quite an extensive bicycle master plan. They were also one of the first cities in California to adopt a complete streets policy. Mm. And I'll just back up a little bit and say that the bill that we sponsored, the Complete Streets Act, is part of a national movement that is rethinking the way that cities and counties and states look at the planning of transportation systems. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of cities that have adopted these plans already, and Sacramento is one of them. So Sacramento, the city, has been a leader long before Sacramento, the state capital, signed the Complete Streets Act into law. The League of American Bicyclists designates cities as bicycle-friendly communities, and Sacramento is committed to meeting their standards. And as a result, I believe they have a bronze standard one of 15 communities in California that have a designation through the League of California or the League of American Bicyclists. It's quite a tribute to their to the priority they've placed on bicycling.
Not to toot our own horns that much, but Kurt was showing me this article in Bicycle Retailer. There was a few things in there. It's an industry magazine.
Yeah.
He had something about Arnold that he wanted to share with us, and I think it's a good time to segue into it.
Yeah, there's a for those people in the bike industry, they get this this publication, Bicycle Retailer, and I saw something in the grapevine titled "From Terminator to Velociraptor." Velociraptor, and it says California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger likes Hummers and Harleys and other such icons of rolling American thunder. But in early February, the Sacramento Bee reported that the governor had been spotted astride.
You got to say
wait
it,
for it.
You got to say it like spotted.
Yeah.
You know, like Kirk, like Captain Kirk, you know, scotted.
Yeah, see, but I wasn't a Star
it's
Trek
the talk
man.
Of the deal.
He was out riding a bicycle, they said. They said Schwarzenegger, who often returns to his Los Angeles home in the evening, had stayed overnight in Sacramento on a Monday after budget negotiations went late. And cycling commuter Chip Powell spied him on the American River Trail with a phalanx of security types bringing up the rear. Giving his history of sporting mishaps, a broken leg, skiing, and a couple of motorcycle crashes that left him with a fat lip, stitches, and six broken ribs, one might think that the Gov would be sporting the latest in protective gear. Well, one would be mistaken, says Powell. No spandex, and he wasn't wearing a helmet.
You'd think a brother could get a break riding a bike, you know. First, he's got to have all his homies behind him, and then he gets busted for not wearing a helmet. Man, my heart goes out, you know. That's pretty cool.
Hey, right? He was on a bike.
Yeah, it's good to see that.
That's
he was
really
out
cool.
on a bike, yeah.
I've always heard that he likes riding bikes. You know, it's part of his fitness routine. He liked to get out and just ride, just to circulate the blood and just relax.
Well, you know, you raise an important point here, and this is something that we're also working on. Bicycling is also obviously one of the ways that the state can begin to address issues of inactive lifestyles, some of the health-related problems that we're paying for, and you know the implications of using bicycling as a form of everyday transportation include better health and lower costs related to healthcare. So it's a you know it's there's a lot of benefit beyond simply reducing vehicle congestion and providing affordable alternatives to transportation.
Yeah, this leads to my other question that I wanted to ask, and I think it's a big question on everybody's mind. It was my biggest question to you a couple weeks ago when we started emailing back and forth, and it was, how can I help? What can I do? You know, how can we get this, how can we help you help the California Bicycle Coalition get these articles, get these programs in front of the governor and get them passed? Budgets.
Well, there are a couple things. I mean, I think everybody who has a bicycle has the opportunity to choose to use it a little more often. So simply getting out on the bike is a way of demonstrating to folks in the community that this is something that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be in super shape to do it. You don't have to have great equipment to do it. You can get out and ride down to the store, or you can ride down to the video store, to the post office. You can substitute the bike for one of your car trips. And that's a very simple way of creating a culture in California or building a culture in California where bicycling is valued as an alternative. And as a practical matter, right now what's happening with the whole funding discussion is that, in fact, today at 2:30, there's a hearing of a subcommittee of the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee, and they're going to be looking at how California is going to be spending its federal stimulus funding, and it would be really really useful for folks to contact their legislators
mm-hmm.
and ask them to ensure that priority is given to projects that have a bicycle pedestrian component. Every region has a list of projects that qualify for what's called transportation enhancement funding, and many of those projects have a bike ped component to them, and what we're hoping to do is encourage people to put those projects at the top of their list You know, every region's going to get funding, but it's not going to be funding enough funding to cover all the projects in the list.
So,
if you have bike ped projects at the top, they're going to get funded and they're going to get built.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about, is how to get your bike ped project at the front. And the real answer I was looking for is writing letters. You said it, you know, contacting your legislators. And what is the best way to contact them? Is it email? Is it actual paper letters that you send in the mail? You know, because phone calls sometimes get lost. You know, people lose track. They don't take down messages.
I would say a written letter is always your best way to go, because they can verify who received it. They have a piece of paper they can show somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Folks at the Capitol count letters, and it takes a surprisingly small number of letters to begin to have an impact on something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the most important thing. Certainly calls to legislators are also helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And the call can be as simple as, you know, we want to make sure that some of the stimulus funding goes to bike ped projects. The, you know, these are often projects that can be built quickly. They can be built efficiently because they can also be built alongside other roadway projects. When you're resurfacing a street, you can go ahead and add a bike, you know, stripe a bike lane for very little extra cost.
That's right.
So you're going
to
see a lot of those kinds of projects happening, and that's why this is a great time to get bike ped projects built. It's the most efficient way to use this funding.
Now, something I'm going to also touch upon here. We're halfway through the show. We're at 129 or 131. Depending on which clock you're looking at around the studio. I want to remind people they're listening to KVMR 89.5 FM in Nevada City and 105.1 in the Truckee-Tahoe area. We're streaming live on the web at kvmr.org. And our call-in numbers are 530-265-9555. And our 800 number, if you're calling from out of the area, and we welcome your calls at this time, is our 800-355-5867. And we're talking to Jim Brown at the California Bicycle Coalition, and we have in the studio also Suzanne Weber of Bike for Yogas. And Kurt Stockton is my guest today in the studio, and I'm Chris Kelly, and we have Brian Compton Engineering. I want to point out one really important thing that people can just really take with them, and that is a website, calbike.com. That site has so much information on it. I can hardly believe it. I looked on there, and things we were talking about, rules of the road, so on and so forth, and our past shows are all right there on the website. You can get answers right at calbike.com, bookmark it. I've got it bookmarked now, and it's a fantastic website.
Calbike.org.
Yeah. I'm sorry, .org. You're not .com because you're not trying to make money. You're a nonprofit.
That's right.
.org, and thank you for correcting me. .org. Did we have a caller there? I think something's happening. We have some activity in here. How are we doing, Brian?
Yeah, we got a caller.
Okay, hi, caller. You're live on KVMR.
Yeah, hi. This is Dr. Rich Oberleitner here in Grass Valley.
Hey there, Rich. How are you?
Just listening to the show and very thankful that you guys are doing it.
All right.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the day that this is going to top car talk.
Well, so are we.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the day to where we get to be two times a month and then four times a month.
Or every day.
Instead of once a month. But, hey, you know, we're working on it.
Because it is so needed. And, you know, the one thing that really strikes me about cycling is it is an answer to so many questions and so many challenges. In particular, in my field, in physical medicine, chiropractic, and all that, that the health statistics are just pretty, you know, are so blatantly obvious that it's amazing that we don't have much more attentions given to bike trails and, you know, and cycling as a way of life.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm looking here at a website called Bikes Belong Coalition.
Right.
And there is a whole column of statistics, you know, economics, health, environmental, and safety, and so on. But the health one is most striking to me, and I'm looking at all these journals from Preventative Medicine, European Journal of Epidemiology, Journal of Occupational Health, and it mentions the vast reduction of cardiovascular risk, of obesity, of diabetes, of even breast cancer.
Wow.
By folks that do cycling, that the countries with the highest level of cycling and walking generally have the lowest obesity rates.
Mm-hmm.
And California, interestingly enough, is earmarked here. Let's see where I got that. Because the people driving the most here, it is one of the fattest in the country, and suffers quite a bit in levels of obesity and so on.
Well, I, for one, am guilty of that right there. I've started riding my bike a lot more, Rich. I can tell you that whatever Rich is telling you right now is 100% true, because I'm a witness right here.
Yeah, and, you know, the statistics are all under that website if anybody wants to follow through with it. In fact, here's an interesting comment. Each hour per day spent driving corresponds to a 6% increase in obesity. Mm. You know, and that's the American Journal of Preventive Medicine.
Those are big. That's a big number when you think about it.
Yeah.
Was that bikesbelong.org or bikesbelong.com?
.org.
.org. Yeah. That's bikesbelong.org. And I think what I'm going to do is, along with some of the other things I have on my website, I'm going to start a links column over to the left of all these websites, so people can just hit the Kelly Bike website and they can go to Bike Talk, and I'll have all these websites as resources over in the left column, so you can click on them if you can't figure out the names of them, so that you don't have to wait till the next show to call in and ask. So, yeah, that's amazing.
And here, there's even some more information about hypertension and even mental disorders.
Well, that's great. Thanks for calling in and get Vanessa that information. I think that'll provide people with a wealth of information, and we appreciate your call.
And I think on that note, too, we want to segue in. Thanks, Richard, for calling, and I want to segue over to our next guest, which is Suzanne Weber, because this kind of ties into the next part of why bikes are so important, and it's our health and our well-being, and love, peace, and happiness, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How you doing, Suzanne?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You had two sessions this morning, so you're looking totally chilled.
Yeah, so I've taught two yoga classes and rode my bike to both of the classes. So I've ridden not very far, but from Grass Valley downtown, my home, and up to Nevada City eventually here.
It's like Canadian dollars riding around here. You know, in America, you go to Canada and the money's less. I went to 24 hours of adrenaline. They said, yeah, we've got, like, you know, $25,000 American dollars we're giving as a prize today for first prize. And the other announcer says, yeah, that's like a million Canadian dollars. So anyway, my point in correlation is that riding here is like riding twice wherever you're riding down in the flatlands.
Exactly. A lot of people, because I don't own a car. So I'm so thrilled that everybody's talking about this.
I'm high-fiving you. Yeah. Good girl.
Because I never pull into a gas... Well, not never. Sometimes I have to be in a car. But I don't pull into a gas station usually. I don't have to pay to take a fitness class because I'm either walking or biking.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no gas bill and no health bill. And so it's great. And so I'm really hoping that everybody gets on the road with me and I'm not one of the 10 or dozen that I see every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it is, people stop me as I pull into places and they'll say, well, I want to get on my bike here in Grass Valley, Nevada City, but it's a little challenging. We do have hills, but it's really not that bad. The cars will yield to you.
Mm-hmm.
There are some bike lanes, and the weather's beautiful.
Oh, it's fabulous today.
So, yeah. So there's a lot of different things that you can do to start building up to getting on the bike.
You know, tell me, what inspired you to want to curtail a yoga program specifically for bicycles?
Right. Well, first of all, it's because I love being on my bike. And so every time I'm biking around and I get off and I notice, oh, my neck, it's a little bit tight here.
Yeah.
Because everybody that's ridden a bike has noticed, oh, yeah, that doesn't necessarily feel great on my neck.
Right.
Or my lower back. Oh, that feels a little stiff or a little not too much in alignment. And so all those things led me to look at what is my yoga practice like and how can I use my yoga practice to support more energy, more efficiency, and just a more enjoyable ride. So it's basically, I don't know, selfish means. I want to feel better on my bike, and then I want to be able to share that with other people.
Totally. That's, I think, just a really good natural progression of why to want to do it.
Well, yeah. That's a great point, too, because, I mean, there are a number of things people can always come up for reasons why they can't do this. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do this. My, you know, it's too hilly. It makes my back hurt. That. and you're thinking about those things, it's like, well, we can do all of these things. We just have to figure out how to do it.
Exactly. You know?
And I think that's great that you're doing that, because even myself, I've been riding bicycles for 25 years, and I still sometimes, you know, get a sore neck or a sore back, and I'm sure there's, you know, a lot more that I could do as well.
Yeah, and also a lot of what happens is, you know, we use the same repetitive motion. Our hip flexors, you know, the place where your leg meets your hips, get constant movement.
That's right.
Your fingers are on the brakes, on the shifters, depending what kind you have. So it's repetitive motion. And so we really need to keep our body, which in yoga we call it a temple, but you can also think of it just as the same machine as a bike. You send your bike for a tune-up. The chain has to be repaired. It needs to get oiled. The bike needs to be cleaned. So your joints, your body, all of your muscles need a tune-up, and yoga really helps.
Well, you know, Suzanne, I know a ton of bike people that think their bike is their temple as well. So you're just kind of right along the same lines.
Right.
And I think we got a caller.
We got a caller on the air. Lindsay's calling in from Grass Valley, wants to make a comment.
All right. Hi, Lindsay. You're on the air live.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I've been listening avidly to this conversation. I'm really excited about this conversation because I'm a bicyclist, and I've been riding only for a few years, about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I ride with my daughter.
Oh, wow. And, God bless you.
Yeah, it's really... I've been without a vehicle also and depended on my bicycle to travel around town with my daughter. And a lot of the people in this town also, it's not really safe. I've had a lot of safety issues with riding. It's... like, I know, like, everything you're saying about the health bill and everything, I just wanted to add, like, it's just, if there was a way to, like, make people more aware of bicyclists on the road.
Yeah, you bet. That's what we try to preach it here on Bike Talk. What, just out of curiosity, what roads are you riding, mostly?
I usually ride around downtown Grass Valley, and just in order to avoid downtown, I take Ridge sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I work at Sierra College, and I go to college, and my daughter goes to daycare, like, over a walker, so I have to take all these back roads to avoid traffic.
Yeah.
I can't ride on Walker Road because people go 40 miles an hour on that road. It's so dangerous, and sometimes there's no shoulder, and it's just terrifying. You know, if I'm riding with just myself, I feel very confident, but with my child, I really have trouble in it.
You know, Lindsay, that's a real interesting point you're making, because that's exactly what we're talking about with Jim today, is we're trying to get, you know, funding for bicycle pedestrian projects, and that's a perfect scenario where, even here in beautiful Nevada County, where some of the best riding in the world is, it's still just for a mother to ride her child to her daycare and to college is can be sometimes dangerous, and you're putting your life at risk or your daughter's life at risk, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
And Lindsay, I think it's important for you to share that information with elected representatives. Let them know that you rely on your bicycle for transportation, and that you hope that you can count on having facilities that are just as safe as motorists have. You know, we wouldn't get on a bus and expect to be killed. Why should that be a possibility when we get on a bicycle?
Yeah, that's correct. And anyone else out there that's like Lindsay that has similar, you know, the similar thing, the similar experience. Wait, even if you're not riding with your little one on there, I have a daughter, she's 5, and, you know, I really consider where I do or don't ride with her. I'm going to make a bike that goes off the back of my bike so we can go riding on the road together. But I think the same way as you, Lindsay, where I want to be off the beaten path and where crazy people are not driving, or mm-hmm. or just people who are too aggressive in commute hour, which is when you're on the road.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, some of this is going to change as more people get on bicycles. It turns out that in urban areas like San Francisco, for example, the accident, the bicycle vehicle collision rate has gone down as more and more people have been riding. And so there is a greater awareness that happens when more people are riding on riding bicycles. So some of this is bound to change as more people choose to use bicycles.
So I have one more question.
Yes, please.
Is there a website that I can go to? Like, how do I contact my elected officials about bicycle safety, and how do I spread the word?
You bet. You bet. Yeah, good question. I'm glad you asked it again because I want to say the website correctly this time. It's calbike.org. That's calbike.org. And people should log on to that site and really check it out because I was on there the other day or, you know, past week or so just studying a bit because I knew I was going to be talking to Jim and on Bike Talk this week. And I was just astounded at the amount of resources that website has. I couldn't rave more about it. Anyone in California or even out of California to check it out and to see what the resources are on there.
Lindsay, there's a link. If you go to our website and look on the legislation page, there's a link for identifying who your elected representatives are. It's based on entering your zip code. And the other thing that's really important is to make sure that your local elected officials, county supervisors, city council members, mayors, that those folks know about your concerns as well, because that's where a lot of the priorities begin to take shape, is at the local level.
Yeah, and if I could just interject for a second, this is a great topic because there's so many groups in our local area that are working to achieve bike trails, both ones on the road, like Alliance for APPT, mm-hmm. as well as Nevada County Land Trust, as well as Live Healthy Nevada County, that are all working to increase the walkability as well as the linkability from roads to trails, along with Wolf Creek Community Alliance, who's working to have a bike and walking parkway along Wolf Creek through downtown Grass Valley. So there's so many groups that we could get out and contact our local representatives and these groups to help them achieve this for us here so that it's safe with or without a child, that you feel comfortable
around. Yeah, I'd like to have links on my website as well. That's what I'm going to be working towards on the Bike Talk end of my website. Is having more of those websites. So if you have any of your friends, Suzanne, that have these sites, or you know you can just forward mm-hmm. them to me, and I'll put them up on the
okay,
site.
Okay, great.
That's what I want to do.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Got a couple more callers on hold, so let's get to them.
Okay. You are live on KVMR.
Hi, thank you. Great show, you guys. Hey, I'd like you to think about or talk a little bit about, you know, how cars are have been made poorly in the past, getting poor miles per gallon. We know that bikes are extremely efficient, but I think as you're speaking of, you know, aching backs and aching necks, the design of the bike can be done better so that a broader cross-section of people will find greater comfort while they're on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
we've kind of gotten stuck in, even though I see more creativity out there, I think the bike industry has kind of gotten stuck in a certain design of bike that for the person who doesn't have a lot of physical difficulties, you know, it works out okay. They can adjust to it. But, you know, a lot of the population, I think, being able to, like the suggestion I'm thinking of is more of a recumbent sort of design.
Yeah.
It may be strange to a lot of people, but a lot of people find it much more comfortable.
Well,
and so you can get more people feeling very comfortable when they sit on the bike, you know, for, as you say, long periods of time. Like, or not necessarily long, but getting to work and back, then that can make a big difference.
Hey, what's your name?
Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Kaiser.
I'll tell you one thing.
Yep.
10, 12 years ago, the recumbent was the bike that all the bike snobs were making fun of way back in the day. And now, hey, guess what? Recumbent sales are booming. And I still make fun of them. I've got a feedback loop from somebody. Hey, Jim, is that you down in Sacramento? Did you have the station on behind you or something?
No, I don't.
Somebody's got their phone on or something, or on the radio on, if they can check that. No worries. Recumbents, I've seen those things riding up and down streets in Sacramento like they're going out of style. Like I've never seen them around that much before. I'd see them out on a ride. But that was pretty much, you know, a novelty back in the day when I was doing a lot of riding down in racing in the early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
But boy, I'll tell you what, it's you're already talking about it though. It's you know, the bicycle, is unless somebody from Los Alamos wants to call me and tell me about something more efficient, I think is still the most efficient machine made by man that we ride today.
Definitely. You know, another point to make here, too, is that in addition to encouraging more intuitive designs for bicycles, it's important to remember that you can get your bicycle fitted to you at a good bike shop, and that can make all the difference. You know, making sure that the handlebars and the seat and the pedals are all in the right ratio it makes a huge difference on in comfort. Another point I just wanted to throw in here is that about 40% of all car trips in the United States are 2 miles or less. So if you start to think about what you can use a bicycle for, you're not even talking about being on a bicycle that long. You know, if we took those, you know, even a share of those 40% of trips and converted them to bike rides, they're not very long. So
The only reason I drove my car to the station today was because I was running a little bit too behind to ride the bike. I was on the bike earlier this morning. I was just going to hop on and ride down here because it was a gorgeous day.
But if you got into your car and sat on a little seat with little handlebars, you would go, oh, this doesn't make sense. You know, if you, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I'm trying to make a point that's...
Now Ron.
What? Now Ron. Well, I think it's important, you know, that comfort level that you're at, you know.
Well, and that's where Jim made a great point, that bicycles can be adjusted. There are,
yeah, but some people, I'm saying, have you may oddities as we get older that, you know, if we aren't very limber or things, there's some things that are just adjustments aren't going to make a big...
Right, and you're talking... That's what we were talking... Yeah, that's what we were talking about a little earlier. I've got the 10-minute warning here, so we've got three more callers on the
Thank
line.
You.
And I like your point, though, and that's...
Are there any websites that you can suggest as the ones you've had about recumbent?
To tell you the truth, I don't. But what I would do is thank God for the Internet, right, because it's the plethora of library at our fingertips. I just Google recumbents comfort bikes and just see where it takes you.
Great.
Thanks for your call, Ron.
Bye.
Hello, you're live on KVMR.
Hi, I just kind of wanted to call real quickly, just as like for, you know, excuses not to get on your bike. I'm a C6 quadriplegic, and I hand cycle all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's a growing market right there.
I go out and, you know, I generally do 8 to 10 miles on a regular basis, and, you know, I always leave myself a treat at the end and stop at Starbucks or something, you know, that's my local coffee shop. But
there you go.
There's lots of really cool hand cycles people can search on the Internet for. Also, along with, like, mental health, my wife had breast cancer a few years ago, and I don't think anything helped me better than, like, getting out and going and pumping my bike for a few miles and stuff.
Man, your arms must be pumped up.
Ew.
You get big arms?
Well, no, not really. I don't even have triceps that
Man,
work.
You gotta get your wife to just take a picture of your arms and so you can have them on the Bike Talk website.
Yeah.
Here's what happens if you ride a hand cycle.
Hand cycles, yeah. So there's tons of them that are available and stuff if you search on the Internet and stuff. And I also want to kind of complimenting public officials. I live down here in Lincoln, which is nice because it's flat. But our city's been putting a lot of bicycle trails in around here. So
it's nice to see.
I'm real difficult to see that. You know?
Yeah. Well, we'll take our next caller, and thank you for calling in.
Okay, take care.
All right, take care. You are live on KVMR.
Okay, I just wanted to say that you're missing one of the most important reasons to get on your bicycle.
Oh, my God, I'm so glad you called. Tell us.
Because getting out there and enjoying this beautiful weather and just the pure fun of it.
That is it.
That's a big reason to get on there.
We get beautiful. So darn busy with all this other stuff that we just forget what the real reason was in the first place, don't we?
Right. Just,
you know, it never fails to surprise me. I get on my bike and I just feel happier. And
yeah,
no matter
like
what kind of
again.
Mood I'm in when I get on the bike, I'm happier once I'm moving.
Endorphins.
Talk about helping your mental health.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Thank you. What's your name?
Mary.
Mary, thanks for that.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I'll tell you what. I was out on my bike in Loma Rica Ranch this morning. My shop is right up in the industrial park. And, oh, man, a half mile from my shop, I was on this trail, and it was exactly what I was feeling. And so thank you, Mary, for calling with that. We have another caller. You're live on KVMR.
Hi. Hi again. This is Dr. Rich.
Hey, Rich.
And I'm just responding to the older caller a few calls back.
Yeah.
Along with the recumbent bicycle, there's just some simple adjustments a person can do on their bike. For instance, raising their handlebars and bringing it closer to their body so they can ride more upright.
Absolutely.
And that really knocks out the back pain and the neck pain issues.
It does, and a little adjustment goes a long way.
Sure does. And, of course, for the older audience, there's also trikes that are available.
That's right.
Racing trikes and power assist bicycles for hills.
There's all kinds of things out there.
Yeah.
And
you know, one of the most recommended forms of rehabilitation for cardiovascular, for obesity, is exercise cycling.
Oh, yeah.
So this is, you're out there in the sun, in the air. So
it's yeah.
Again, it's the perfect solution.
Well, thanks for your call again, Rich.
Thank you. Oh, one correction that I did on my last call. I said in California.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fattest counties are those where the people drive the most. I think I said that wrong.
Well, I felt a little bit better.
I read my notes wrong.
Well, we're,
but
you
it's,
know.
You know, yeah, the places where people drive the most, that's where the obesity rates are the highest, along with, you know, diabetes, cardiovascular, and so on.
Unfortunately, probably those people are listening to a CD right now, and they're not hearing it. So what we're going to do is we're going to podcast this show like we do all our shows so that people will tune in, hopefully, and we'll get the word out. So that's the best I can do for them right now. But, you know, it's just lead by example. You know, get out there and do your thing and ride your bike and don't be hindered by it. We have a few more minutes left of the show, so we're going to wind down here and make some announcements. We have another caller? Okay. Okay, great. Because we need the last 5 minutes, because I didn't get to spend near enough time with Suzanne here, and I want to make sure I segue out here with plenty of information for everybody. Suzanne, how can someone get a hold of you to come and take the Bike for Yoga class, and when will you be offering them?
Okay, so someone can either call me on my phone number, 609-319-2511. So I'm just giving that out to the whole county.
There you go.
It's all over posted. Or they can email me. My email address is love, L-U-V, peace, P-E-A-C-E, and bliss, at yahoo.com. And so right now I don't have the specific date set for Yoga for Bicyclists because I'm kind of revamping it. The normal... or what I've done in the past is I've broken it down into two parts. So we look at what we can do before we get on the bike that improves our circulation, that gets us aware of our body, how we're aligned, strengthens our core so that we have a nice long spine as we're riding as
okay.
opposed to crunching our body up.
Right.
And then we look at what can we do after we get off the bike. How can we open up the quads or the hip flexors, or how do we stretch our wrists or our fingers or our neck? Things like that. But this time I'm looking to increase the program so that we're actually riding in between. And what does it feel like to stop in the middle of a ride, especially if you're touring or doing a longer ride? And how can you do some stretches or openings or readjustments on your body like you would on a flat tire,
right.
Roadside? And so the date isn't set yet, but I teach yoga classes on a weekly basis that address a lot of the similar things. For example, this morning in my 8 a.m. class at Living Yoga, we did a lot of chest opening. So if you can imagine whether you're on drop handlebars or you're just on a commuter, you're still leaning forward. Your chest is still getting crunched. So we looked at how do we open the chest, how do we increase our breathing capacity, which is also important when you ride a bike. The more... lung capacity and the deeper breaths and the more strength you can get through oxygen, the more you can get up our hills.
That's right. The oxygen is your fuel, whether you know it or not.
Exactly.
Oxygen goes to the blood, makes good blood. Blood pumps through all the muscles. That's
exactly.
how it all works, right?
Yep.
It's a nice big cooperation we got
yeah.
going on with the body. So I love your program. And so the number again, or the email, your
the
email is?
Yeah, my email is love, peace, and bliss, and that's L-U-V, and is spelled out, and my phone number is 609-319-2511, and my Wednesday morning class at Living Yoga in Grass Valley, 8 to 9:15, is a great class for people who play outdoors and just want to help their play be a little bit more enjoyable.
Fantastic. And Jim, you're over there in the conference room there in Sacramento.
Yes.
Any closing words that you'd like to share with us, things we can do, things to remember, other than people need to check out the CalBike website and just, you know, make a stand and represent, you know, stand up and do something.
Well, I think getting on your bike is the biggest statement you can make. May is designated as Bike Month in a lot of counties in California, and there's a bike commute week that takes place in the middle of the month. That's a great way to plan to add a bicycle to your transportation mix, so something to keep in mind.
Yes, and in Nevada County, Kurt, I want to thank you for being in the studio again.
Yeah,
and
I enjoyed it.
And Suzanne and Brian in Compton Engineering over here, you're listening to KVMR.org. And we look forward to the next edition of Bike Talk number 9, which will be on April 15th, Tax Day. Just remember that day because it's going to be really intense and people are going to be going crazy. So,
any hints as to what the topics will be next month?
You know.
It's a secret, isn't it?
It's a trade secret there, Brian. And things are in flux, you know, until we unleash them on the Bike Talk. So if you want to know, you've just got to tune in. I want to thank all you people out there listening to us on the web today at kvmr.org and on the radio as well. We look forward to seeing you at the next Bike Talk.
Okay. It is.